We do a sports talk program. First Take in the house.
You're nuts. What's going on, everyone? Welcome into First Take. You know what it is, a Mad Dog Wednesday in Stephen A's chair. Does he know about this?
He's not here, right?
Wow.
He's not coming in, Tim?
Pretty good over there?
Wow. Yeah, I have a different feel over here.
Tim Legler is in the house. We got a full crew today.
Yes, we do.
It's you versus the world, so you better get ready. You got Ryan.
I got my buddy over here with me.
You got Tim Legler. You got Brian Windhorst. You've got Ryan Clark. You've got Dan Orlovsky.
Kimberly.
Kimberly A. Martin. You've got Seth Greenberg.
And Tim Kirkjian.
And then you got Tim Kirkjian. Way to pay attention to the rundown. Can you handle all these voices? Can you hold your own?
There's a couple I'm going to have trouble with, and he's going to kill me. Because the Bear and Windhorst out in L.A.
Are you
going to
do your little tell us why you're mad, your little rant later?
Oh, I got a lot of things to mad.
Listen, just because you're over there, you don't have to be as ridiculous as Steve.
There you go.
You don't have to be.
Not as ridiculous as him.
Right.
I can be my normal ridiculous, but not quite as
exactly.
All right, Wendy, good to see you guys. Let's get into it. We had a wild one in the NBA last night. We just showed a little bit of it. Austin Reeves, triple-double, made a tie-breaking three-pointer, 38 seconds left in the second overtime as the Lakers overcame the absence of LeBron James, rallied to beat the Bucks, 128-124 last night. Reeves had 29 points, 14 rebounds, 10 assists as LA opened a six-game trip by winning their fourth straight despite trailing by 19 points in the fourth quarter and never leading in regulation. Anthony Davis put up 34 points, 23 rebounds. Coach, was that a top five performance this season?
Hell yeah. Definitely top five of the season. Might be top three. Just dealt with a lot of adversity throughout the entirety of the game. Was able to pull ourselves together, stay focused, never gave up. I always tell the team, you know, we gotta compete, be together, hold ourselves accountable, and have a next play mentality, you know, for 48 minutes or however long it takes. And so tonight it took 58 minutes.
Next man up. That's what Mad Dog's doing today. The Lakers have been stuck in the number 9 spot for a while, but the jockeying for positioning still continues, guys. So the Warriors' win last night gave them a bit of breathing room over the Rockets, who have won 9 in a row. All right, Dog, you're up first. Was that a statement win by the Lakers to beat the Bucks without having LeBron?
I'm going to look at it the other way with the Bucks losing and blowing a 19-point lead. But I will say this. The Lakers should get themselves at minimum one home game in a play-in because they should be able to withstand Golden State and end up in that ninth spot, which would get them at least one home game. But the Bucks, I mean, you got a 19-point lead in the fourth quarter at home, and LeBron's not playing. This is a very shaky team. They easily, I think they get out of the first round, but they easily could lose that second-round playoff series, whether it's Cleveland, Orlando even. The Knicks could beat them. They're healthy. You got to be very worried. They change coaches. They've been a mess. They don't play a lot of defense. I'm looking at more from a Buck loss than a Laker win. That's the way I'm going to look at the game. Lakers had a big win, but Milwaukee, you cannot be confident that this is a big-time playoff team.
These two things are not mutually exclusive of each other. You can have both. This is a brutal loss for the Milwaukee Bucks, to make no mistake about it. First of all, they could have buried them twice in this game. They came out to start the game, and it looked like without LeBron, you go up 15 in the first quarter. Lakers could have just said, all right, we're going to take our 30-point loss and go home, right? You don't have LeBron. They fight back, stay within arm's length. Bucks go back up again 19 in the fourth quarter. Lakers fought their way back from that. So a lot of resilience on the part of the Lakers. I'm going to focus more on the Lakers component in this. I do think it's a statement win. And it's because not only did they show the resilience to fight back in a regular season game without their best player, they made the winning plays at the end of the game that the Bucks did not. So, Dog, I hear what you're saying. These things surfaced again with Milwaukee. And by the way, they haven't been good in crunch time under Doc. Now, they've improved in other areas. They definitely are playing harder. They're better defensively than they were under Adrian Griffin. There is no mistaking that. I think the chemistry between Lillard and Antetokounmpo is better than it was earlier in the year. But they are not good in close games under Doc Rivers. And this has been something that Doc has battled throughout his career in the playoffs. So you saw it again last night. Execution defensively. There were mistakes made, big ones, that led to wide open shots. Giannis misses two free throws late in the game, right? That surfaced again. Is that going to become a talking point? But the Lakers, What they did offensively, and by the way, Spencer Dinwiddie, a sneaky good acquisition for the Lakers, went under the radar. Another primary ball handler. He was big for that team down the stretch. Austin Reaves played like a star. He's a very good player. He played like a star last night. And then the most important element, the impact Anthony Davis had defensively on that game, you really can't even quantitate that. He had two of the best defensive plays at critical times that you'll see all year by a big, and particularly that block on Lillard at the end of regulation. If he leaves a half a second earlier to go block that shot, Giannis Antetokounmpo gets a dunk because he is engaged with him under the rim. He had to wait to the last second, goes up full extension, gets the tip. Lakers go on to win the game. That's a winning play at the end of a game. Bucks didn't make them. Lakers did. I think this is an important moment for the Lakers. You saw what Darvin Ham said, one of the best wins of the year.
Yep.
First four-game winning streak all year.
And
that's hard to believe.
And they got an easy schedule.
Easy schedule. Look, I'm not saying they're going to the finals. I'm not going to take that leap. But I do think this is the kind of win, dog, that can carry weight with a team. Not all wins in the regular season are created equal.
I agree with that.
This was an important one for them.
Wendy?
So I'm glad you mentioned AD there, because I think this is a morning for Anthony Davis to get a Valentine in March, because this was one of the finest performances I've ever seen Anthony Davis have in the regular season. We're talking about a 30-point, 23-rebound performance, largely against Giannis, who was just 6 of his last 15 in the second half of this game, because AD was all over the place at the rim. He played 52 minutes, the most of any game in his career, knowing that he had to deliver without LeBron. Never gave up on this game. Played through, you know, knocking knees late in the game. And specifically, what he was doing at the defensive end, guys, where he's, you know, at times staying with Giannis, playing Giannis straight up. Giannis, by the way, had a 29-point triple-double. He had a strong game. But going in a heavyweight fight where he's sometimes guarding Giannis and other times down the stretch where they're switching with those screens and he's forced to switch on Dame Lillard. He's guarding both of them. Absolutely brilliant performance from Anthony Davis. This is the reason why the Lakers are at this spot in this season, because Anthony Davis is playing his best basketball, just named Eastern Conference Player of the Week on Monday. He follows this up on Tuesday. My gosh, what a move. The Lakers are where they're at now, which is in their best position of the season, for two reasons. One, they have gotten awesome three-point shooting since the All-Star break. D'Angelo Russell, who had a double-double in this game, and Austin Reaves have both been well over 40% from three-point range since the All-Star break. They're actually second in the league in three-point percentage since the All-Star break. That's huge. That it lifts their offense, which is where they've had so much trouble this season. And while I still don't think they're a good enough defensive team to really do anything special in the postseason this year, they have been better over the last couple of weeks. They've gone from being one of the worst in the league to sort of more towards the middle of the pack. I think that's largely because of how well AD is playing. They have a big task tonight with all these guys playing so many minutes, having to play in a back-to-back in Memphis, because all these games matter at this point. But LeBron didn't play last night. And if he's able to summon some energy and be okay on that ankle to play tonight, that could be a trump card for them. So the Lakers are in much, much better position than they were just a couple weeks ago.
Listen, they can't get out of the play-in. They don't have tiebreaker over Sacramento and Dallas.
Yep.
So chances are they're going to be in that 7, 8, 9. But I would think out of those four, they could be the seventh. Who would they be there? Let's say Denver wins the conference. Oklahoma City and Minnesota. Could the Lakers beat them? You much better an expert on this than I am at the moment. The matchup, they probably could. Lakers last year beat Memphis. Now Morant was out for the most part, but they beat Memphis. Lakers could win a playoff round, I would think, if they end up not playing Denver in the first round.
Good chance they'd be favored in those series, because Minnesota doesn't have Karl Anthony Towns, and Oklahoma City, just a lack of collective playoff experience. I think a lot of people would pick the Lakers to beat those two teams. I'm not sure I'd go there yet. I don't have to, go there yet, because we still have a few more weeks.
Is Towns going to play? Is he going to be healthy by then?
Here's something to watch.
There's been no timeline on that.
Here's something to watch. The Clippers are in an absolute free fall. They didn't make our graphic because they got lucky last night and they got back up into fourth place. But they should be on the graphic for the play-in, because they are two games clear right now of the seventh spot. There's a whole bunch of tiebreakers and stuff. Also, they are going to the on an Eastern Conference road trip. They play in Philly tonight on ESPN in a very important game. They're playing terrible right now. I, at this point, don't know what's going to happen with the Clippers, but they are not out of the woods for the play-in.
Good point.
And if they fall back to the play-in, to that seventh spot, you know what that means? That means the Lakers potentially wouldn't have to leave Los Angeles for a play-in situation. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm saying if I'm the Lakers, I'm watching the Clippers very closely. And the Clippers have a must-win game tonight, or else they're going to be back in five and right on the with the Dallas Mavericks on their heels. That play-in situation is wide open.
We know who loves the Dallas Mavericks. This guy, right to my left.
Right, I do. And they didn't nothing last night to dispel that. That was a beatdown they put on the Kings in Sacramento.
That's a huge game Friday because if the Kings win, they have tiebreaker.
Correct.
And that's a huge game because they'd have a game and a half lead. So that Friday game in Sacramento, one of those two game things in the same city, that's a very important
game. This is Luka's best team.
You're high on. I know you've been high on them.
That's scary.
Yep.
All right. If Lakers matched up with the Clippers, how do you think that plays out?
The way the Clippers are playing now, I think the Lakers and the momentum that they have, I'd pick the Lakers to win that game. If that was a one game off, it was a best of seven, probably two. Honestly, the Clippers are a mystery to me because when you look at the offensive numbers, like Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, for the most part, they're doing what they've done all season. Norman Powell and Harden have had a slight downtick offensively in their efficiency. So it's really hard to exactly pinpoint what it is. Other than the fact that they just haven't been very good in close games and their defense hasn't been as good. But this was a team 6 weeks ago that looked like they were going to make a run at Denver, and now they're under 500 over a six-week period. That's not a small sample size when they have been relatively healthy.
Absolutely. All right, we'll take a break from the NBA. You guys will be back in just a bit.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. The Heisman Trophy winner will be on full display today with all the camera scouts and coaches in tow. Jaden Daniels showcased his athletic gifts at Arizona State first, then transferred to LSU where he took a major leap in Baton Rouge. Mel Kiper Jr. has Jaden Daniels going to the Commanders with the second pick of the draft. It's been a revolving door at quarterback in Washington since Kirk Cousins left with 12 different starters the last six seasons. Okay, Dan Orlovsky here with us now. Hi, Dan. We'll get RC in just a moment. Good morning. How we doing? How we feeling?
I'm fantastic. Hey, Mad Dog, Seth Greenberg was just in here. He said, get ready. Put on your adult pants today because it's coming from all angles.
I'm ready for Seth. I did a little high school research, too, where we played high school basketball.
Research.
Yes, so I'm going to get into that with Seth.
Going into the trenches.
Well.
Wow.
Yes,
you doing research of things happened 60 years ago. Shocking.
Wow.
There you go.
RC, good to see you.
Good to see you guys
Great
as well.
To
I like the haircut, too, man, dog.
You like it there, RC? Yeah, I got a Friday.
You know what? It means a lot to me when someone gets their hair cut for me. So I just want to say thank you. I appreciate it. All right.
There we go, Miles.
RC, I'll start with you. Obviously, you watched him very closely going to LSU yourself. Is Daniels the most talented quarterback in this draft?
No, I believe the most talented quarterback in this draft is Caleb Williams. It doesn't mean he's going to be the best one. I not only got to watch Jaden here at LSU, but he also signed to Arizona State University in the same freshman class as my son Jordan. They're extremely close friends. I got to watch him go toe-to-toe with Justin Herbert in Oregon and outplay him one night in Arizona. So Jaden has been a very good player since he entered college, but Caleb Williams has been a special player since entering college. Remember, when he went to Oklahoma, Spencer Rattler was the starting quarterback there. He was supposed to be a first-round pick. He ends up replacing him and playing extremely well down the stretch. Obviously, Caleb transfers to USC, wins the Heisman Trophy, and then in 2023 doesn't play as well, but still accounts for 41 touchdowns and only 5 interceptions. Caleb Williams is an immense talent, but when you're talking about Jaden Daniels, I believe just speaking on his talent is to do him a disservice. You have to talk about the work he did to become a pocket passer, the work he did to become a guy that could distribute the football all over the field, and then when everything breaks down, become the most dynamic playmaker with his legs in all of college football. Jaden Daniels became what he was. He didn't necessarily enter college that way, but I believe that seeing someone do what's required to progress and learn to process the game at the level that he has is probably more impressive than having a baseline of talent.
Yeah, I agree. I think the best quarterback in the draft is Jaden Daniels. I think the most talented is Caleb Williams. Talented is that natural applied skill, yes, where best is the most excellent and effective quality. And I think when we're watching both of these young men play, and the great thing is either team that drafts these guys, I think Washington and Chicago are solid places for them to go. Now, I still think Minnesota's going to try to go up to 2 to go get Jaden Daniels. But they're solid places to go, and I think both of them are set up uniquely and rare in many ways to play well at the NFL level. But when we're talking about who owns the line of scrimmage better between these two guys when it comes to getting in and out of checks and changing protections, I would make the claim that that's Jaden Daniels. Who has got a quicker and more lightning release? I would make the case that that's Jaden Daniels. Who's a little bit more twitched up when it comes to fast hands? I would make the case that it's Jaden Daniels. I still think Caleb is really good in that. Who goes to the right place with the football on a consistent basis? I'd make the case that that's Jaden Daniels. Who doesn't have extreme misses? I'd make the case that it's Jaden Daniels. And who plays twitchier? I'd make the case that it's Jaden Daniels.
You're making a lot of cases for Jaden Daniels, Dan.
You know what I'm saying? Caleb, I think, is wildly talented. I just think when it comes to the quality of the play, Jaden's higher in that regard.
Yeah, I think any of these quarterbacks is a major crapshoot. We saw it a few years ago when Mayfield, the only guy who turned out to be any good was Josh Allen, and he went, 8 or 9 to Buffalo in the first round with Mayfield and Sam Darnold.
Hold on, you don't think Baker Mayfield's good?
He's okay. He's not a franchise winning a championship quarterback. You think he's a champ? Now, hold on now. You're the same guy who didn't like Montana. You don't think that Baker Mayfield's a championship level quarterback?
I think you could win a Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield if you had the right team around him.
You win a lot of games with Baker Mayfield.
They were 9-8 in a terrible division. A lot of games. What does that mean exactly?
He's gone to the playoffs 2 times. He revitalized the Cleveland Browns from the worst organization in the history of North American sports. We can move past that. You like curling, Mad Dog. Stop.
Baker Mayfield, Danny, please come back to me. He's a nice play. He's okay. He's not a top 10 quarterback. He's not a top 10 quarterback.
True indeed.
You're not winning. Without a top 10 quarterback, you're not winning a Super Bowl. And he's not a top 10 quarterback.
He's a top 12 quarterback. There's a lot more good quarterbacks in the NFL now than there used to be.
I got to even think about that. And anyway, as far as these two are concerned, listen, I think that Daniels is going to Washington. Although our buddy Tannenbaum thinks that
when you say these two, are you talking Caleb Williams?
Yes,
and Jaden Daniels.
I think the Bears obviously going to take Williams. Listen, he's got a lot of ability. He turns the ball over a lot. I saw USC play a lot of games. He can be a little too reckless. Keep that in mind. And, of course, the Bears have had no success drafting quarterbacks. Trubisky, they traded up for, was a disaster. Obviously, Fields isn't the answer for them either. They traded up to get him. The Bears haven't had a quarterback since McMahon in 1986. This is a franchise that has not done a good job with quarterbacks. Let's be fair.
You know Daniels has more passing yards, touchdowns, wins than Caleb Williams.
Now, remember, I had a major problem with this, too. Go look at the schedule that LSU played this year. They played Grambling and they played somebody else where they scored 70 points. They added a lot of those stats.
Mad Dog, don't do that.
Mad Dog, they also played Missouri.
Yeah,
they
Bama,
also played A&M.
Ryan,
do you think they padded the stats so he could win the Heisman?
Oh. No, because hey, when he played Grambling, they took him out the game. Nussmeier played the entire second half.
Why is he even playing in the game?
Did you ask why Caleb Williams was playing against San Jose State?
I voted for Penix anyway. I voted for Penix, who I thought had the best year start to finish. He was my Heisman vote.
You still high on Penix?
Yes, I am. That's another thing. How does Penix not get any consideration? Were they afraid of his injuries? Yeah. Did they miss some of these games?
The injuries,
I believe, at least two, if not three, ACL tears. At least two.
Yeah.
And he's got shoulder injury to his throwing shoulder. So I hope, I think some teams will be up. But he's tremendous talent. I agree with that. But, I mean.
Be careful. I'm still trying to get over the Baker Mayfield comment. That's a little strong.
I mean, Mad Dog, let me hit you with truth about Baker Mayfield. The last two seasons that Baker Mayfield has started and stayed healthy, he's thrown for like 60 touchdowns and 7,000 yards.
They were 9-8. Hold on now, Dan. They were 9-8 2 years in a row in the NFC South. The worst division in the history of mankind. Take it easy. He didn't win the AFC West.
He's only been there two years in a row.
He played 2 years ago as their starting quarterback once. Oh, that's correct. You're right. Brady.
He's right. Mad Dog.
RC, you get the final word before I move on here.
The final word is this. I think both of these quarterbacks are immensely talented, but with any rookie quarterback, there's going to be some ups and downs. There's going to be a learning curve, and nothing is guaranteed. But when you're talking about talent to play the position, and in Jaden Daniels' case, the progression of playing the position from a technical standpoint, he's been absolutely tremendous in that. I think both of these kids have a chance to be great.
I need you on your A game. Steven A's not here. Let's get the facts right.
That's a terrible job. I have to take the hit for that. I should know Brady played 2 years ago. You may continue.
I'm just messing with you. Thank you for that permission. Mike Tannenbaum's mock draft release yesterday also has three quarterbacks in the top three, but also a quarterback at number four. He's got Michigan's J.J. McCarthy going to the Cardinals. That's interesting. Kyler Murray's there. Mike's mock is based off what he would do as GM of these teams. Okay. Now we're focusing in on McCarthy. Are you buying him as a top five
pick? No, God, no. I don't like McCarthy at all. Did you see the Penn State game this year? Well, hold on. Penn State this year, he didn't throw a pass in the second half. In his career at Michigan, he's thrown
25 points.
They didn't throw a pass. They didn't even trust him to throw a pass. He wasn't great against Alabama. He's fortunate to get out of that game. He's a good runner. Michigan quarterbacks, Brady notwithstanding, Michigan quarterbacks historically are not great. I am not a huge fan. I think you take him high. I think you're making a big mistake. I am not. He's not that accurate. I am not. He's a good athlete. I am not a huge fan.
Dan?
Not on, Mad Dog. First of all, Ohio State quarterbacks weren't that good until C.J. Stroud came along. So that whole Michigan argument. He wasn't that great against Alabama until they were down 7 with 5 minutes to go in the game.
And
he got a 4th-and-2 completion. And then he ran for 16 yards. Then he had a 30-yard completion. And then he threw the game-winning touchdown. So wasn't that good until then. Here's who J.J. McCarthy is to me. I call J.J. McCarthy's first game ever in college. I'm a McCarthy fan, okay? I think he is a top 15 prospect. I think he likely is going to play consistently like at Kirk Cousins as a top 10 or so quarterback. He's going to go top 5, okay? He's going to go. I don't know if there's a guy more convicted and confident in his ability to throw the ball. He makes really difficult things look easy, and he's a stone-cold assassin when he's got to be. Stop telling me he didn't throw the ball in the second half of the Penn State.
How about Maryland? Did you see the Maryland game, Dan? Did you see the Maryland game this year in Maryland when he was awful? Did you see the game second half against Maryland?
Did you watch C.J. Stroud against Northwestern 2 years ago?
No, I didn't see that one. I missed that one. I'm talking about his senior year. Did he play well against Maryland?
No.
RC, help them out.
Oh, Mad Dog.
I mean, the thing right now when you look at J.J. McCarthy is I sit at my house and I wish someone loved me as much as people right now love the fourth best quarterback in this draft. But that is also saying something. The way that Dan has evaluated him, right, a top 10 or 15 sort of talent that will go in the top five is exactly right. But I do believe the college football playoff games is what helped him. Finding a way to beat Alabama late, playing against Michael Penix, the huge run late in that game, finding ways to put the football exactly where you need it to be in critical football moments, that's what quarterback play is. And we just had an argument about Baker Mayfield. Do I believe J.J. McCarthy could be as good as Baker Mayfield? Absolutely. Do I believe that J.J. McCarthy could be as good as Kirk Cousins? Absolutely. And if people had opportunities to draft a Kirk Cousins higher, knowing what his career would have been, they would have done so. The same for a guy like a Dak Prescott. They would have done so. And J.J. McCarthy can be that sort of player. The difference between J.J. McCarthy to me and the top two guys, or maybe even Drake May, is you don't look at J.J. McCarthy as having elevated his team before. That's not the film we get to watch playing in Coach Harbaugh's offense with the Michigan talent around him. But with the right pieces around him, if he gets to go to a place like Minnesota, which we are not talking about how well they will be set up to have a rookie quarterback, this is a dude who can go and win 10 to 12 games as a rookie in a system like that.
He had a 27-1 record at Michigan, best in FBS over the last 50 years, and a total QBR
Did anybody play a good schedule in college football for you?
By the way, Dan Orlovsky, I don't appreciate that you're only available to us for the A block. I mean, that's like lame and messed up. So you're dismissed now. RC is the only rider.
I gotta go tape virtuals.
He's with us. He's with us in the trenches for the full 2 hours. Thank you, Ryan. Bye, Dan.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Let's talk Sweet 16. The NCAA men's tournament starts back up tomorrow. Arizona facing upset-minded Clemson. That one's in L.A. Clemson the only underdog to win the second round, while Arizona advanced to its 20th Sweet 16 in program history. There's also going to be a title game rematch when UConn plays San Diego State. That one is in Boston. It'll be the fourth championship game rematch from the previous year and the very first to come prior to the Final Four. Alabama takes on North Carolina, looking to reverse its fortune in the Sweet 16. The Tide is only 1-9 in the round of 16, while North Carolina is 22-8, tied with Kentucky for the most wins since the round began in 1975. And it'll be strength versus strength when Terrence Shannon Jr. in Illinois play Iowa State. Shannon has scored 56 points in two games in the tournament, but Iowa State ranks second in the nation in defensive efficiency. There he is, Coach Seth Greenberg joining us now. Coach, I got a treat for you, your buddy here, Mad Dog, sitting in Stephen A's chair today. How are we feeling this morning?
any better I could have said it. This is an honor to hang out with Mad Dog. I mean, he's a legend. You remember, I grew up in New York now. Mad Dog,
he's
bigger
legend.
Than life. To be on the same stage as him, this is like getting to the Final Four.
Stop, yep. Stop.
I remember being in the car with my dad, and I'd be like, could you lower it? Who's that guy screaming?
And I was just picking on Steph because in high school, he had a number one team in the state and lost to Syosset in high school.
Yeah.
And he got defense the whole way
Seth
by Matt Kupak. So I got all over
that. Thanks, Mad Dog. I really appreciate it. That's a great memory. I still haven't gotten over that loss.
Dog, let me ask you this. Do you like the lack of Cinderellas in this tournament?
Yeah, I do. Seth might disagree. I like it. I understand, you know, the upset. And you had a little of that with Oakland. You had a little of that with Yale. But I think when you get to this level, there's not a game here outside of maybe NC State Marquette, which I don't love. There's not a game here I don't like. These are great games. I mean, Arizona, Clemson's a decent game.
Yep.
You love UNC, Alabama. How do you not like Illinois and Iowa State? I mean, and Creighton and Tennessee is a great game. So I do like the idea that when you get to this level, the bigger blue balls.
I like winners, too. I like winners, too.
You like the winners.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't want all the
I don't need the sweet story. Yeah, need the winners.
I need a couple, but I don't need that many, so I'm happy here.
Coach, where are you on this?
Well, here's the deal. I agree with you that when we get to the Sweet 16, we usually are a little more chalky and we have a little bit more of a blue bloods. But, Mad Dog, I got a question for you. How can you not make NC State a Cinderella? Did you hear about this little movie they had, Survive in Advance? Did you hear about, like, Jimmy Valvano's run through the NCAA tournament? Did you hear how Jimmy Valvano got to the NCAA tournament by beating Virginia? Oh, wait, let me think here for a second. NC State. All right, they had to win 5 games in 5 days. They had to bank one in against Virginia. Oh, Virginia again. They beat Duke. They beat Carolina. The bluest of bloods. I mean, you talk about a historic run, and now they're at the Sweet 16. I look at NC State as a Cinderella because their journey reminds me a little bit of 1983.
I agree with that, Seth, but they're out of the ACC. And it's hard to put an ACC team as a Cinderella. Oakland's a Cinderella. Yale's a Cinderella. It's the AC. Seth's right.
Yeah.
From a journey standpoint, 5 in a row, 7 wins of whatever they had in 12 days. Valvano 83. But they are out of the Atlantic. That's a big conference they're out of.
Absolutely.
So that's why I won't put them as a Cinderella.
All right. Coach, let's look at some upsets here. Sweet 16 matchups. Who's on upset alert?
I think it's Houston. You talk about this Houston team playing against Duke. Here's the way I look at this game. All right, Houston is the bully on the block. You know, the bully on the block that actually takes your lunch, steals your lunch money. Ball goes up on the glass, they're going to rebound it. They're going to trap ball screens. They're going to trap the post. They're going to try to impose their identity on the game. Duke, on the other hand, Duke's a team, they sit up high on the hill. They're in a nice, pretty house. Life is good. I'm looking to see if Duke is tough enough, physical enough, to compete against the most physical team in college basketball, and that's the Houston Cougars. They're going to have to rebound. I'm looking for Kyle Filipowski to draw a line in the sand. I'm looking for Jared McCain to be ready as a freshman to compete against Jamal Shedd. To me, Duke, if you are who you say you are, you're ready for this challenge. Because one thing I know about Houston, that's a bad group of dudes now. They are going to come, and they're going to try to take your lunch money.
And they showed a lot of guts in that overtime when they got tied late and they came back and they won that overtime easy. I think it's Clemson, Arizona. I don't trust Arizona. They've had a lot of trouble in the NCAA under Lloyd. They won 2 games. They beat Dayton, okay. Mm-hmm. But Clemson has done a very nice job. They play good defense. They take a lot of time off the shot clock. Last year, Arizona lost a similar kind of game to Princeton. Clemson's going to play this game in the 60s. P.J. Hall, they survived late. They got a good point guard. That little kid out of Syracuse is a good little player, too. I can see. Now, listen, Arizona's got a lot of talent. Love, of course, a couple years ago. I think Clemson could definitely beat Arizona. So I'll say Clemson, and he will say Duke.
Okay.
Clemson's a good. I like Clemson. P.J. Hall invert. They'll pull bigs away from the basket, so Bowell will have to make a decision. Chase Hunter, remember, he's played against Caleb Love. When Caleb Love obviously played North Carolina, Chase Hunter is an elite guard. That will be a big time matchup.
And I love Seth. Let me get quickly. Can I ask Seth a question here?
I had another question, I guess you're allowed to.
I'm allowed to pump in.
Yeah.
All right. If I put you on an island, Seth, to watch either Creighton, Tennessee, or Illinois, Iowa State, only could watch one of the two, which one would you go with?
Illinois, Iowa State. Illinois-Iowa State is going to be an incredible game. Two athletic, hard-playing, well-coached teams, different a little bit. You know, Illinois is an elite offensive team. They come at you in waves. They have two different lineups, one with Coleman Hawkins, who can stretch the defense as a five. Dane Danger plays in the post. They don't have a point guard. They play it by committee. Iowa State, not the most talented team, but the collective responsibility, how hard they defend, how they keep you on one side of the court. They turn you over 26% of their possessions. They're so physical, so tough. If it's a rock fight, Iowa State wins. If the game has any pace whatsoever, mm-hmm. I think Illinois wins the game.
Yeah. Listen, Coach, I'm kind of stressed out because I'm already traveling a lot this month. And now I got to get tickets to Arizona. I got to go to the West Coast. It's going to be a lot. So I'm just curious, Mad Dog, who are you taking if it's UConn or the field?
I'm still taking UConn. They're the most different basketball team in college basketball. They've been the most consistent. They can beat you in half court. They can beat you in transition. They can beat you with their defense. They can beat you at the rim. They offensively, I say it all the time, offensively they play like a FIBA team. Defensively they play like they're from Jersey City. I actually think the black and blue bracket, that's what I call the bracket they came out of with all those conference champions, was the best thing because you know what it did? It gave Danny Hurley another cause. He creates causes and that team buys in. He's got a chip on his shoulder. That team has a chip on their shoulder. Will it be hard? Yeah, they're going to have to play well. But they're built for this. They're built for this, and I say it all the time because when I go watch them practice, every single day they draw a line in the sand. Every single day they're held to a standard. Every single day it's good on good, physical, compete, and the strong survive. They are built to repeat. So I'm going to take UConn.
You still have your hard eyes for Tennessee? I know you're all about Tennessee.
Yes,
they did look good when I watched them.
I like Tennessee.
They can get stuck offensively.
Oh, they can. But you know, Seth, in years past, if they were 3-for-25 from three, as they were Saturday against Texas, they do not win. So that to me was a positive sign. Plus, I love Connect. I will take the field, Molly, on this. And I'm only going to take the field because sooner or later, remember, they killed the teams last year, too. Sooner or later, Connecticut's going to get in a white knuckler against somebody.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, they're going to play a couple close games. They're not going to win every game by 30.
Yeah.
And I want to see how they respond last minute or two, down to the last possession.
Yeah.
And I think there's three or four teams that could put them in that spot.
Okay.
So I'll take the field.
Yeah.
That's a good choice. Hey, Mad Dog, by the way, the Siasa thing was a low blow. No doubt it was a low blow. It brought back a lot of bad memories.
Well, Eddie Panzerback was telling me all about it, and you blew the game. Number one team in the state, 1975.
Mad Dog, what did Fat Rob tell you to do, UConn or the field?
We have had a lot of trouble with Fat Rob. We have gotten murdered with picks.
Wow.
Oh, my God, have I gotten killed.
Wow.
He would go UConn, though.
You're
going
to have to find a new guy.
He would go UConn.
All right, Coach, you're the best. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod, and have a fabulous day.
Good day. Welcome back to First Take, coming to you live from the Seaport in New York City, brought to you by Patron Perfection. Starts with Patron. Hey, that's the Freedom Tower right there. You see that, Mad Dog?
I sure do. Yes. Yeah. Look
that's,
at that.
That's pretty cool. Nice little shot there in NYC. All right, I got a quick take for you. The MLB season kicks off for all teams tomorrow, and we got our eyes on the Yankees. Dog, ESPN Bet has their over-under win total at 91.5. Which side are you on?
Well, I'm going to take the over. They got a lot of injuries. Cole's not going to pitch. They have a lot of older players, too. LeMahieu, obviously Rizzo's old, Stanton. But they're due for some good fortune. Soto and Judge are a great combination. They're probably a little motivated after a terrible year last year. Stanton's in pretty good shape. Cole's not out for the year. They're survived with the pitching. It's tricky. They could go the other way, but I'll go over. I think the Yankees win 95 games, so I'll take the over of 91.5.
All right, on the pinstripes. We like it. Let's get you up to speed on a story that's dominating sports. Shohei Ohtani's representatives declined again Tuesday to answer ESPN's questions about which authorities they have contacted to report their allegation of theft against Ohtani's former interpreter. ESPN has received no confirmation from any of the likely local, state, or federal agencies that could investigate allegations of theft that they had received a report from Ohtani's camp. Okay. MLB insider Tim Kirkjian joining us now. Tim, it's been a long time. Great to have you with us. I want to start with you here. Tim, how do you think baseball is going to handle this?
Well, I think baseball is going to do a very thorough investigation because baseball has to. Everybody is watching this. And if Ohtani has done something illegal, whatever we're going to call it, they're going to crack down on him. And it doesn't matter that he's the most important player and the best player in the game. And part of that is because we also have a federal investigation going on here. So if the feds come up with something, baseball can't just say, make this go away. The feds are in on this, therefore baseball has to be in on this. So I think we're a long way away from figuring all of this out. We have a million questions to answer, but I can't see baseball just saying, we're not gonna pay attention to this because everyone is watching.
Mad Dog, I haven't been able to ask you about this story. What's your reaction to just everything that's gone on?
This is just my opinion. I want to hear Timmy's thought, too. And I know he's the face of the sport. And I think he did the right thing. This is just me.
Okay.
I think his buddy, who he's known since 2013, got himself in a ridiculous hole with gambling, $4.5 million. Mm-hmm. And where is he going to go to help him out? He's going to go to Shohei, who's worth about $1 billion. And I think Shohei quietly helped get that debt down.
Yeah.
That's I'm okay. He didn't bet on baseball. I don't think that. And I do think he might get an undisclosed fine. But if you look at the history, we'll have Timmy comment on this. There's only one player in this spot who's been in the same sort of scenario that Ohtani is, and that's a middle infielder for the Marlins in 2015 who bet with an illegal gambling operation but did not bet on baseball. He got an undisclosed fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, Timmy, I think at the end of the day, if I had to give you an opinion right now, I do think Ohtani paid off the debt. I don't think there's no way a gambling operation is going to front some guy making $250,000, $4.5 million in credit if they didn't know that they had somebody who was going to pay the debt off. So I do think that Shohei probably paid off the debt, but I don't think he bet on baseball. So I think at the end of the day, you might have just an undisclosed fine for Ohtani and we move on. What's your take on that? Let me hear.
Well, this is all still so unclear to me exactly what he did. What troubles me, and I was impressed by Ohtani the way he spoke the other day. He was more convincing than I thought he was going to be. For the most part, I thought he was truthful. But for someone who has been this disciplined in his life, in everything that he does, and knows exactly what's going on with every step, that he could not know that this debt was out there, I find that hard to believe. Now, the flip side of that, of course, is when you get to this level, you need somebody to take care of everything for you. Bank accounts, going to the cleaners, you know, figuring out how to get a house, everything. And that's what the interpreter did. So it is plausible that he didn't know exactly what was going on here. But again, these are the questions that need to be answered. And we got a little bit of clarity the other day from Ohtani. We need a lot more on this story.
Yeah, there's still major gaps in the story. Yeah, go ahead, Mando.
Sorry, Molly. Major gaps. Remember, too, Tim, that was not a press conference. That was a statement. He didn't answer any questions. He gave you a 10-minute statement, and we moved on. There are so many questions here. First off, ESPN did a wonderful job. They had this story dead to rights a week ago Monday, set up by an Ohtani spokesman with the translator. He gave him the whole deal for 90 minutes. And then all of a sudden, he retracts it a day later, and now nobody can find the spokesman. Yeah. Would the spokesman end up in the East River swimming with the fishes?
Yeah.
I mean, where
Really need to know is what access did Mitsuhara have to his accounts, if that's even feasible, that he was able to, like, steal the money, as the latest narrative we're hearing.
Right. Yep. And again, among the million questions we need to be answered, did he have power of attorney where he could do whatever he wanted with Shohei's money? I find that hard to believe. But in this case, let's just get some answers. And some people with Ohtani's camp have to give us more than what he gave us the other day.
Yeah, I have a major, and I don't have a problem with the idea of Ohtani helping out a friend. He's been with him since 2013. And the friend outlined the fact that it was $4.5 million, and Ohtani made 8 installments of $500,000.
But then why change the story, and why double down that it was a massive theft?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I've never seen a story in all the years that I've covered baseball that changed so dramatically in a 24-hour period. And I've spoken to a bunch of lawyers, and I'm not good talking to lawyers, believe me. But I had a lawyer tell me that if Shohei was not telling the truth during his statement the other day, he is going to be in huge trouble, even though he didn't do that under oath. Baseball is watching. Everyone is watching this. And he was so emphatic that this is a complete lie. We now have to see exactly how much of a lie this really was.
Well, Tim, again, no gambling operation is going to front $4.5 million debt to a translator unless they know that Ohtani, since he was just, was going to help pay the debt.
Yeah.
That's not happening. He changed his story after he gave the ESPN 90 minutes of specific detail. And the other thing is, if it's theft, why haven't any of the organizations confirmed that they have charged the guy with theft? And he's not in jail. He's wherever he might be. He didn't get arrested. What are we waiting for? So yeah. I don't buy the theft thing. I don't buy the theft thing at all. No, I do not think they bet on baseball. But I don't buy the theft. I think that's a bunch of nonsense. I don't pay attention to that. And, Timmy, I think it's important. I don't think baseball, if it's just paying off an illegal gambling place, I don't think baseball is going to suspend Ohtani. You'd agree with that?
Yes, I would agree with that. I think he was just a naive, trusting guy whose best friend really betrayed him. That's what I think happened here for the most part. But we're all still speculating about what happened here. We're just giving our opinions. We need way more facts than what we have.
Yeah, we need way more details. And we'll continue to keep everyone up to speed as this investigation unfolds. Tim, great to see you. Good talking to you.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.